We're in the middle of a series. It's called New. Don't you love things that are new? Oh, I love things that are new. That's right. And God wants to do something new in each and every one of us. He doesn't want us just to improve and maybe make a few little changes, a few little adjustments. He wants things brand new. And He wants to do that. And what we've talked about over the last few weeks is that He wants to start on the inside. What we usually do and what we like to do is we like to take care of things on the outside. If we improve a little bit and look a little bit different and act a little bit different and maybe, you know, fine-tune a few things on the outside. But the Lord really wants you to start on the inside. That's where it all begins. Once you get some new thing and get something new on the inside, things drastically change on the outside when you start at the right place. And so we ask you four questions, and four questions that you need to ask yourself almost every day. I wouldn't pull them out every day, but every once in a while, pull these questions out and ask yourself. And the first one was, am I worshiping intimately? Not that I'm coming on Sunday and for an hour I worship, but am I making worship a lifestyle? Is it something that happens every day of my life? And is it intimate? I tried to come up with some idea to help you with intimate. And so this is what I want. There was a married couple. They had been married for a long time. I don't know exactly how many years it was, but they had been married for quite a while. And they went to one of these marriage conferences. And the speaker said, now you need to make sure that you tell each other every single day that you love each other. Husbands, tell your wife that you love them. Wife, tell your husband that you love them. And one guy spoke up and he said, you know, we've been married for 50 years. He said, and I told her the day I was married that I loved her. If anything changes, I'll let her know. And that's funny, isn't it? But you know, that's what sometimes we do with God. Let's get serious for a second. God, I know for me, January 1st, 1970, that I trusted you as my personal Savior. I knelt beside my bunk bed, and my dad led me to the Lord. And I trusted, and I had faith, and I believed in Him and believed on Him that He was my only hope for everlasting life. And I've been saved now for, 48 years. Let me think for a second. A little math. And God, if anything ever changes, just let me know. And some people approach life like that. Some people approach their Christian life like that. But you know, worship needs to be intimate. God does not just want to be God in your life. He wants to be your friend. He wants to walk with you. He wants to enjoy the things that you enjoy. He wants to help you through the rough times that you go through, the difficult times that you face. It's not a part anymore. It's a part of who I am. It's not just something that I do anymore. The second question was, am I feeding daily? Daily is pretty much the big word right there. I mean, we come in on Sunday and we have our Bible and we open it up and we read some scripture. But what are you doing Monday and through the week up till Saturday? So I thought, well, let's say it this way. I'd like for you to go out this afternoon. I'd like for you to have an awesome meal somewhere. If it's at home, cook you a nice home-cooked meal. Or if it's a restaurant, go out and have a really nice restaurant meal. And just really get dessert. Matter of fact, get two pieces of dessert. Go for it. Really have a good one. But then, starting tomorrow, I don't want you to eat anymore until next Sunday. Can anybody do that? Anybody handle that? No, you can't, because why? You got to eat every single day, don't you? Do you know that's true in your spiritual life? Oh, I'll come on Sunday. I'll be here right at 10:15. And I'll study and I'll read my Bible. But during the week, come on. I mean, I bring it on Sunday, and in the Sunday afternoon, it goes in the back seat of the car. It goes up on the dash of the car, and I'll pull it back again out on Sunday. You need to be feeding daily. Am I serving faithfully? And am I connecting regularly? And then last week, we looked at not just starting on the inside, but then we looked at a triune being that each and every one of us are. We have a soul, we have a spirit, and we have a body. And all three want to be in control. They all want to run the show. And we looked at, we need to be spiritually fit so that we can be physically and emotionally fit. We have to start. The spirit man is the one that needs to be in charge. And so we ask you these four questions and you answered them. Am I offering daily? Am I giving something back to the Lord every single day of my life? Am I withdrawing weekly? There needs to be a day that you would pull away and you just focus in on Jesus and what he has for you. Am I living purposefully and am I honoring fully? I really believe this, that most people want a life change. I mean, there's nobody that really gets up in the morning and looks in the mirror and goes, you are perfect. I mean, there's nothing wrong, no problems. Matter of fact, here's a thumbs up to you, buddy, in the mirror. You are it. Now, hardly very seldom do all people do that, do a lot of people do that. Because we want life change. We want some things to change in our life and things to improve. But if you really want to change something about your life, it has to start on the inside. It doesn't begin with your behaviors. It actually begins with your beliefs. And the spiritual part of who you are impacts every other part of your life. And if you allow the spirit man to be in charge, it will take care of the body. It will take care of the emotions and your will and all the things that go along with this. And this really can be, you look back over your life, this really can be the best part of your life, the best time of your life, if it is the best time of your life spiritually. If you are deciding, everything I give back to the Lord. I'm going to start on the inside. I'm going to make the spirit man in charge. I'm not going to let my body control me, and I'm not going to let my emotions control me, but the spirit is the one that's going to control my life. Because you've got to realize this. Your life here on earth is a vapor. It appears for a short time. And you know, I think you do. Hopefully you understand this, that the majority of your life is not spent here on earth. It's spent in eternity. And if you decide, I'm going to focus on this little part of my life, you got to understand your life is a whole lot bigger than this little part here on earth. Because you are a spirit with a body, not a body with a spirit. Okay? Very important that you understand this. You have to know that you are not a body that's having a temporary spiritual experience. You are a spirit who's just having a temporary earthly experience, a temporary body experience. And when you get that straight, when you understand that, things can really change. Things can become new because you realize it's not about the body and it's not about the mind and the emotions. It's all about the spirit man, that part of you that is going to live forever. That is the most important. And so here's our theme verse. We've been on it the last couple weeks, and here it is again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. When someone becomes a Christian, when someone becomes a Christ follower, he becomes a brand new person. Where? Inside. He is not the same anymore, and a new life has begun. The prescription for spiritual growth, start on the inside. The prescription to get your life and your body and your emotions and your will in line with what needs to be, start with spiritual fitness. Really make that the most important. And today we're going to talk about something different. Something that maybe is new to you, maybe not, but I want to take a new approach to it. And I want you to look at it from a different angle. And we're going to talk about riches. We're going to talk about money today. And we're going to look at it a little bit different, hopefully, than what you've looked at it in the past. Do you know that money is spiritual? It can either have a worldly spirit on it, or it can have a godly spirit upon it. Now, money itself is neutral, but it does have a spirit upon it. It has a worldly spirit, or it has a godly spirit. And so we're going to look at Luke chapter 16. It's on the screen. I want you to follow along with me on the screen. And I'm going to read through this, and then we're going to pick out a few of these things and discuss them a little bit today about riches and about money. Let's begin. Luke 16 and verse 9 says this. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, we're going to come back and talk about that in just a minute. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We're going to come back and talk about that in a moment. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? And here's the verse you've heard a lot. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Now, you can find that verse again back in Matthew where Jesus talks about it here, but he talks about it also in Luke. Now, most people have heard, and I'm going to say a lot of people have understood it this way, you cannot serve God and money. How many have heard it that way? Okay, a lot of you have, okay? That's a little bit of what that just said. But there's a whole lot more to this, and I want to help you out with it for a little bit. It doesn't just mean money. It doesn't mean that you cannot serve two masters, and so you can't serve God and you can't serve money. Yes, but there's a whole lot more to that. Because the word mammon does not actually mean money, it means riches. Okay? Now, back in Babylon, we go way back in Babylon, the Syrians had a god, and his name was Mammon. And many of the Syrians worshipped this god, the god of Mammon. Now, he is the god of riches, a small g. He is the god of riches. It's the spirit that rested upon their money, upon their riches. Okay? Now, y'all understand Babylon. If not, let me explain to it just a little bit. You can divide that up into Babel on. Okay? Now, you know some people like that babble on and on and on and on. Okay. Babylon. Okay? Now, you've heard of the Tower of Babel, correct? And that was confusion. Now, if you take Babel, that word simply means confusion. Okay? And you add the suffix to it, on. On simply means to be sown or planted. So, when you go Babylon, you have sown a group of people that were sown in confusion. It started in confusion. Remember, they tried to build a tower to get to God. They decided, I can get to God not the right way, but I can do another way. Well, this Syrian god, the god of riches, was called Mammon. It wanted to control people's lives through the love of money. This god, or this spirit of Mammon, actually just wanted to take the place of God in people's lives. That's why when Jesus was speaking this back in Matthew, and when Luke recorded it, when he said, you cannot serve two masters, you cannot serve God and you cannot serve Mammon, they understood exactly what he was talking about, because they had heard of this Syrian group that had a god that loved riches. He was the god of riches. And Jesus made it very clear. You can't serve both. It's not that you can't serve God and money. It's that you can't serve the spirit of God and the spirit of Mammon, this small g god that the Syrians worshipped and thought, I can eliminate God as long as I study and as long as I worship and put my trust in this god of Mammon, this spirit of riches. Now, I want to go back and explain a little bit the first verse, and I think it's back there on the screen. It says this, and I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now, you read this real quick, and a lot of people will come up with this idea. Okay, so if I take my money, let's go back a little bit. If I take my unrighteous mammon, my riches, and I make friends with it, that I understand, okay, then when something happens to me, they're going to come to my rescue. So I'm going to make sure that I get a lot of friends by taking care of them with my unrighteous mammon. And that when something happens in my life, something goes wrong and doesn't work right, then they'll receive me back into their home. They'll help me out. And you know that's exactly not the reason, or that has nothing to do with that verse says. Let me help you out and tell exactly what it says, and then we'll get on a little bit further. And I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Now, we've already determined that mammon is riches, that it's money, that it's a spirit that rests upon your money and upon your riches. And what Jesus is saying here in Luke 16:19, he's saying, take that unrighteous mammon, put God's spirit upon it, and then take the money, the riches that you have, and go out and be a blessing to other people. You're going to get friends. You're going to use your money so that people will come to the kingdom of God. You're going to take your money that's unrighteous, and you're going to put God's spirit upon it, and it's going to become available and useful for God to use for you to reach other people for Jesus. Like I've told you, for Easter Sunday, what's 10 bucks to take somebody to lunch if they in turn trust Christ as their personal Savior? They place their faith on Him. They receive the gift of everlasting life. That's exactly what this verse is saying. You take that money, you take those riches, put God's Spirit upon it, and then go out and help people. Be a blessing to people. In the name of Jesus, be a blessing to someone. And then, what's the next part? That when you fail, do you know what the word fail means? It's when you die. When you expire. When you die, when you fail, that they may receive, not you will receive, but they may receive you into an everlasting home. Here's the deal. Next Sunday, even with Annie Armstrong, the money that you give goes to Miami, goes to all around this country, okay? And the money that you put God's Spirit upon, you bless people, you help people. They become your friend. They become your brother and sister in Christ. That somehow by the money that you bless people with, that you use as a spiritual blessing, they trust Christ as their personal Savior. And one day when you die, when you enter the gates of heaven, there'll be people there. Here he comes. Here she comes. And you go, nah, I don't remember you. No, you don't know me, but you gave to a missionary. And he came to my town, or he came to my city, or he came to my country, or my village. And because you took your unrighteous mammon and put God's Spirit upon it, and it was a blessing, that's why I'm here today. That's why I'm in heaven. Because you used your unrighteous mammon and put God's Spirit upon it. Incredible verse. When you read it and understand it fully. Several years back, there was a book written called The Day America Told the Truth. It was by James Patterson and Peter Kim. Now, I want you to follow. Here's what they said. They asked them this question in the book, and here's the answers they got. What would you be willing to do for $10 million? And so they went out, and this is the state of America. Well, the country of America, but this is, I mean, the place where they are as far as in their lives, okay? They asked people, what would you do for $10 million? 25% of them said, we would abandon our family. You give me $10 million, I'll just abandon my family. I'll leave them high and dry. I'll have my $10 million. 23% said they would become a prostitute for a week or more. Is that unbelievable? 23% of people said that. 10% that said that they would withhold testimony, letting a murderer go free. Did I miss one? Excuse me. 16% said they would give up their American citizenship. Sure, I'll give up my American citizenship. Give me $10 million. Now, 10% said they would withhold testimony, letting a murderer go free. If you give me $10 million, I'll withhold what I know is true so that a murderer can go free. 7% said they would kill a stranger for $10 million. And 3% said they would put their children up for adoption. This is the condition of our country. Okay? And probably worse today, because the book was written several years ago. I think it's very obvious that we need a revival. And that we need a revival of the spirit man in each and every one of our lives. And we need God's spirit not just upon our mammon, but we need upon our whole life. That we let him be in control. We let the spirit man be in control of everything that happens in our life. But the God of mammon says, you don't need God. You know what you need? You need more things. You need more riches. You need more things hanging in the closet. And you need more things parked in the driveway. Mammon will make you promises. But he's going to make you promises that really only God can fulfill. And if we don't understand this, and we don't understand how powerful this spirit, this worldly spirit of mammon is, we're going to have a hard time understanding how we can live our lives the way God wants us to live our lives. So let me give you three promises that mammon makes, the god of riches. Here's the first promise that mammon makes. He says, I'll give you security. I'll give you security. So, do you want peace of mind? Do you want security? Tell you what, just put your money in our bank and let us handle your retirement. Come on. Money, riches offers us security every time we turn around. But you know what Proverbs 11 verse 28 says? Those who trust in their riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf. Our only security is going to be found in God and in God alone. If we think we are secure by putting our money in some bank that says they can take care of it, we're very fooled. Because it could be gone like that. Remember several years back, Bernie Madoff? Made off with a lot, didn't he? Enron. And 20,000 people ended up being bankrupt. Just like that. Not realizing. I have a friend who worked for a company for 23 years. And they let him go with no warning. Called him into the office one morning and said, pack your bags, head out the door. We have no use for you anymore. After 23 years, he had one of his friends that they did the same thing that same day, and he was only 6 months from retirement. 6 months from retirement. My friend said the guy actually said, hey, just give me a mop. Give me a broom. Get me something to do for 6 months and then I'll leave. And I said, no. There's the door. If you think you have security in your riches and in your money, and that this worldly spirit says, hey, I can take care of you, then you're very fooled. Your security is not in the God of mammon, but it is in the God, the creator of this world, and the creator of you and the creator of me. Hebrews chapter 13 verses 5 and 6 says, keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Security comes not from outside riches, not from the things that we have. It starts on the inside. When we allow the Spirit to be in charge of every area of our life. Isaiah 60 and verse 1 and 2. Arise, let your light shine for all to see. Why? For the glory of the Lord rises to shine on you. Now darkness as black as night, it covers all the nations of this earth. But the glory of the Lord rises and appears over you. That's security. You have the Holy Spirit. You have the glory of the Lord shining upon you. When you decide, I'm going to let the Spirit man be in charge. I'm going to start on the inside. I'm going to take care of some things that are on the inside. I'm going to become new. And let the Spirit be in charge. He offers security. But here's the second thing that the God of Mammon promises. He promises identity. Have you ever heard this? You will be somebody if you just have that. If you just drive that. If you live in this area. If you wear these certain things. You'll be somebody. And if you serve the God of Mammon, if you have riches. And so here's what happens. We go out and we buy what we can't afford to impress people who we don't even like. And we do it and we see it happen all of the time. Some are even addicted to spending. They're addicted to riches and to money, gambling. You ever watch that show on TV called Hoarders? That's incredible, isn't it? And it's sad. But you look at all the stuff and it's this idea is I'm identified by how much I have. And I can't let go of any of it. But Jesus cleared that up really quick in Luke chapter 12 when he said this. Then he said, beware. Guard against every kind of greed. Because why? Life is not measured by how much you own. It's not, but people have fallen into this God, this spirit of mammon that says, hey, the more you have, the more you're going to be identified. And it's a lie. And it cannot fulfill what it promises. The actor Jim Carrey said this, I hope everybody could get rich and famous and will have everything they ever dreamed of so they will know that it's not the answer. You never have enough. So, how do I find my identity? Well, your identity is found in Christ. That's where your identity is found out. How do I know that? Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before you were formed within your mother's womb. Before you were born, I sanctified you and appointed you as my spokesman to the world. I've set you apart even before you were in your mother's womb. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things He planned for us long ago. I love that. God had a plan for you even before you existed. He had a plan and He said, you're my masterpiece. I have great plans for you. Psalms 139, for you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know it really well. Mammon says, I can make you somebody. You just get riches. You get money. And it simply lies to you is what it does. It's not going to give you security. It's not going to give you identity. And the third thing that Mammon promises is happiness. Now everybody knows that's not true. It doesn't take long to realize that money does not make you happy. Solomon said this in Ecclesiastes 5. Those who love money will never have enough. How meaningless to think that wealth brings true happiness. Thank you, Solomon. It's exactly true. Remember the millionaire Howard Hughes? Someone asked him how much money is enough. You know what his answer was? Just a little bit more. So, how do I find my happiness? Romans chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Blessed are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Blessed is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty. Can I tell you this? I'd rather be guilt-free than debt-free. Jesus has paid for everything you have done, past, present, and future. Do you know where that puts you? In a place of happiness. He's paid it all, and all to Him I owe. He washes it white as snow. He's erased your sins. So He's saying this, just put your life in my hands. I'll take care of you. You are my masterpiece. I have a plan for you. I can give you true happiness. I'm here to tell you today, mammon will lie to you. The spirit of riches will lie to you. So we started off by saying the answer to my problems are what? Well, I need more money. If I just had more money, my problems would go away. Or I need to get my money in order. If I just get my money in order, my problems would surely go away. And you know what? Those things are important. But make sure you put God's spirit upon it. Get that spirit of mammon off of it. And put God's spirit on your riches and upon your money. Because remember this. Never once did a blind man or a lame man or a leper say, "Have mercy upon me, God." And Jesus turned to him and say, "You need more money." Never did he? It's because that's not what's going to bring you happiness. That's not what's going to bring you joy and security and identity. You put your faith in Jesus today. You place your life into His care. You'll have security. You'll have identity. And you'll have happiness. So you got to remember this. He wants to give you more than you need so that you can use it to make a difference for Him in this earth and on this earth. Here's the principle. And I think it's at the bottom of your fill-in, so you can put it down there if you want. We'll talk about it right at the end. But here's the principle. We get to give, not give to get. What am I saying? When God blesses you, when God blesses you with riches, with money, you get it so that you can give it. But don't ever go out and decide, "I'm going to give so that I can get." That's not the way it happens. That's not the way it's supposed to be. You give so that you get so that you can give, but you don't give just for the purpose of getting. 1 Timothy chapter 6. But people who long to be rich, they'll fall into temptation, and they're trapped by many foolish and harmful desires that plunge them into ruin and destruction. And here's our verse, you probably heard this. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And some people craving money have wandered from the true faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. It's not money is the root of all evil, just the love of money. And that's that Syrian Babylonian God that says, "Hey, I can provide everything for you. Just put your trust in the spirit of mammon." But that's not true. He lies to you every time you turn around. God says this, "Return to me what is mine and just simply take care of the rest of it." Everything we have is God's. Everything we have. Everything that you have and that I have is God's. We're just asked to be stewards of it, to be managers of it. So here's the questions I need you to ask yourself today. You can fill in the blanks in your handout. Question number one, am I returning the first? Am I returning the first? Now, you have to give God back what is already His, okay? So you have to understand that you have to return the first. Remember, it's God's. You're just giving back what is rightfully His. You give back the tenth. That, I believe that needs to happen in individuals' lives and in ministry lives. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 9. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything that you produce. 10% goes back to God. But then the next step, the next question, not only am I honoring, am I returning the first, second question, am I stewarding the rest? If you want a different word for stewarding, you can write down managing. Am I managing the rest? See, God is watching how we handle His money. Let me say it again. God's watching how we handle His money. Luke chapter 16. If you are faithful in little things, back to our main scripture, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibility, greater responsibilities. And if you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you, and here's our words, true riches, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? When you decide, I'm going to put God's Spirit upon my riches, upon my money. I'm going to make sure that it blesses other people, that it goes out, that when I get, it's because I can get. It's the opportunity to give. God doesn't give me more so that I can have more, okay? God gives me some more so that I can be a blessing to more. So am I returning the first? Am I stewarding the rest? And then if you do those two, if you say I am to both of those questions, then you understand that then you then receive true riches. What are true riches? Well, it's the only thing on earth that's really going to last forever. The only thing on earth, the only thing on this earth that is going to last forever. And true riches, this is the best part, true riches are people. We leverage every part of our life to count for eternity, not for temporary things, not for things that are going to burn up, rust up, fall apart. We have the opportunity, if we give back our and return the first and steward the rest, we ask this next question, am I focusing on true riches? And true riches are people. Say it this way, my life needs to make a difference for eternity. How do I do that? By touching other people's lives. It's all about other people. It's all about loving God, loving each other. We sang it. Loving God, loving each other. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Why? Well, the moths are going to eat them and the rust is going to destroy them and thieves are going to break in and steal it. So store up for yourselves or store yourself your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Why? I get so that I can give. But don't get the idea that it, just because I give, I'm going to get. God's going to bless us. God's going to protect us. God's going to watch over us. But am I returning the first? Am I stewarding the rest? And am I focusing on true riches? Is my focus not on what I want and what I need and what I think I need to have? Is my focus on other people? How can I be a blessing? How can I let God know that I'm going to be faithful in the little things by blessing one person? Remember, I've told you before, do for one what you wish you could do for everyone. You can't do it for everybody. Nobody can. But that one person, you can change their life by simply giving it back to the Lord. Riches are good when God's Spirit rests upon them. Don't let the God of mammon destroy you. Don't let him think that you can have security and identity and happiness that can only be found in Jesus. It can only be found when you decide, I'm going to start on the inside. I'm going to become new. I'm going to make sure that I'm worshiping and I'm feeding and I'm serving. And then I need to take care of the spirit man. Because the body wants to be in control. And my mind and my emotions, they always want to be in control. But they don't care about any other thing. But your spirit man, you put your spirit man in control of your life, you will be new. New things will happen. Your spiritual life will grow. Your physical life will increase. Your emotional life will get in tune because the spirit man wants to help and can take care of all of that. And then you can have new riches. You can have new money if you just decide, I'm going to put God's Spirit upon it. I'm not going to listen to that God of mammon anymore. You can't do both. No one, I'll say it again, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and you cannot serve mammon at the same time. You have to decide what is going to rest upon me, upon my riches, upon my money, upon my life. Am I going to let the Spirit of the Lord rest upon me or the spirit of this world? It's very important. And you can be new, and I promise you this can be the best time of your life if you just get these things in order. Make it new. Make it brand new today. And I promise you that God will bless you in ways maybe you don't even know. But you'll be able to step back one day and see how God has truly blessed you when you decide, I'm going to focus on Him. I'm going to make things new. Would you bow your heads in prayer, please? I hope you understand and realize today that Jesus only wants good for you. Matter of fact, He wants the best for you today. If we will just submit, if we will just surrender. There was a missionary once that made this statement. It still is to be seen what a man can do when he totally places his trust and faith in Jesus. Completely. How about we start working towards that? God, here I am today. Here is my life. I place it into your hands. I place it into your care today. Will you come be the Lord of my life? Will you come be my friend today? And I trust that you want to see things new in your life. Everybody loves new. Let's see our lives completely changed because God is doing something new inside each and every one of us. And I promise you, when He works inside, He'll work through you. Just place your faith and trust in Him today. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to study and to read and to understand and to meditate upon Your Word that speaks to us in ways that no one else or nothing else can. So today, Lord, we lift up our lives to You. We surrender everything to You today, Lord. Help us to make it new. Help Your Spirit to rest upon us, to be a part of our everyday life. And may You receive the honor and glory for it. If there's decisions that need to be made today, Lord, speak to them. Maybe right where they are, help them to make that decision today in their life to fully surrender to You. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.